Well, this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Last Supper. And it's sort of strange that we're not having communion today, and I'm talking about the Last Supper. And you guys probably think, why doesn't he talk about it on the day we have communion? And quite honestly, if anybody avoids communion, I wanted to talk about it on a day when they were going to be here because we're not having communion. So if that makes sense to you, I don't know if anybody here avoids communion or not. I remember a lady came up one time after I had done a sermon. I did a sermon on communion on the day that we had communion, and I remember her saying, I mean, she's probably, I don't know, mid to late 60s, and she said it's the first time she'd ever taken communion. So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. And now we won't have communion for 3 more weeks. We had it last week. At 11 o'clock church, we'll have communion next week. We have it the first Sunday at 11, the third Sunday at 8:30. If you think you should take communion more than once a month, you have an opportunity to come twice a month for communion. So I want to talk just a little bit about that. I don't really so much have a typed out sermon today. I have some notes and I know what I want to say. I want to start with that in the video that we saw, I like it because it's pretty true to Scripture, and Jesus said it was this Passover meal. Jewish people still have Passover. And I don't want to assume that everyone here even knows what Passover is. So last week, it's funny that I'm doing this one this week, because last week, if you were here, I talked about Moses. And Moses went to the burning bush. Well, Moses, the burning bush came to Moses. But Moses was out in the with his herd, and he saw a burning bush, and he went over to it. And last week I talked about Moses laying down his staff and how we need to lay things down. Well, God is using Moses here. He says, I'm going to use you to free my people, to bring my people out of Egypt. And some of you absolutely know this, and others of you don't know this. There's nothing wrong with not knowing this. And that's why I feel like I want to cover it today. So God's using Moses to bring the people out of Egypt. The Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. And so God's using Moses. God sends Moses to Pharaoh. And all of this is a little bothersome to me because God says, Pharaoh's not going to listen. I'm going to harden his heart. But you go to him and you tell him to let the people go, and he's going to say no. And so then God sends plagues of frogs and plagues of locusts and what is it? Water turning to blood. She said lice. And so, finally, God's bringing out the big one. And God is going to strike the firstborn of all the Egyptians. And so, the Jewish people are told how to avoid this. And so, they are to given specific instructions on how to cook it, to eat it all, you save the blood, and you're going to put the blood over the door of your house. You're going to take the lamb's blood, and you're going to put it over the door of your house, so that when death comes, it's going to pass over your house. That happened, and a lot of weeping and mourning, I'm sure. And so Pharaoh finally says, okay, you all can go. and Pharaoh sends them on their way. Every year, Jewish people celebrate Passover. And they remember when they were slaves in Egypt, when their people were slaves in Egypt, they remember God's grace and God passed over. And so what we have here is Jesus tells his disciples, you go and you prepare this room and we're going to celebrate Passover. And that, they call it a Seder meal, and I've never really participated in one. Several of my friends have, and I don't know. I think there's an egg, and I don't remember. Has anyone here participated in a Seder meal? Okay. There's an egg, and what else? Yeah, and every one of them means something. So Jesus is with his disciples. They're in this upper room. It's the day before, it's Thursday, before he's going to die on the cross on Friday. And so they're having a meal. When we have communion, you know, I like to give out a hunk of bread. Because when they were having communion here, they were having a meal. And Jesus incorporated their meal, the bread and the wine that was there at the meal. I always say, man, I wish they were having milk and Oreos when... Because if they were, we'd be having milk and Oreos. We only have, juice because the guy who owned Smucker's convinced people that it wasn't good to have wine. And so, I think it was Smucker's. And so we started having juice. Well, Smucker's had a vested interest in doing juice at the time, but that's another story. It's good we don't have wine. So we have juice and bread. Because Jesus had wine and bread, because that's what they had at their table. That's what they had at their meal. That's why we have it. That's why we use still juice and bread. And so Jesus takes what he has, and he says that there's a new kind of Passover. You see, in the Passover, when the Jewish people got passed over, it was the blood of the lamb above the door that saved them. And Jesus says there's going to be a new lamb and new blood, and it's going to save you. And it's not because of anything that you have done. It's because of what Jesus did. That's when we come to communion, it's not because of what you've done, it's because of what Jesus did. And somewhere along the way, the church has gotten really messed up about this. The church has had really bad theology about this. Some people have taken this scripture from Corinthians where it says, woe to you who... I don't think it says woe to you, but it says something about you who take the Lord's table, come to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, it says. And we have taken that to mean, it says, examine yourselves. And so we have taken that to mean, okay, I've got to check and see if I'm worthy to come up there for communion. That's what the church has taken it to mean. And in Corinthians, what was happening is that there were certain people, like me and Paul, who can take off work whenever they want to. There were certain people who, if the church was meeting at 4 o'clock, like I was just talking to Adam about this yesterday, or whenever we came to borrow your truck, whatever day that was, to pick up something at Walmart. And I said, Paul's on call all the time. He never takes a vacation, but he's pretty flexible with his hours, so he can go in when he wants and come home when he wants. And it's pretty much like that with me, too. So back when they're having communion, when the community's getting together for communion in the Bible, you've got people like me and Paul, or maybe people who are retired, And they can come in whenever they want to. And then you've got people, other people, maybe like Logan or like Donna. They have certain times that they have to be in certain places, and they can't come in. And so what was happening was that the people like me and Paul were getting there early and getting drunk on the wine. That's exactly what's happening in Corinthians, so that when Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians, he's saying, it's not right what you're doing. You who do this in an unworthy manner, you're sowing condemnation on yourselves. And it's not because some people are worthy to come for communion and some people are not. Do you understand this? This is true. Exactly what I'm telling you is true. And so it's not about, oh, geez, I went to Mezzo's and had a beer Friday night when I had my wings, so I better not come for communion. If that's the case, who among us is going to raise our hands that we've lived in such a way this past week that we're worthy to come up to the table and have bread and juice? Who among us? Nobody. There would be nobody to serve it. You'd have to serve yourselves, because I certainly wouldn't be worthy to. But it's not because of the way you're living. As a matter of fact, it's because of the way you're living and the way I'm living that we need to come to the table. And we remember, just like the Jews celebrate Passover, when we celebrate Holy Communion at the table, we remember what Christ did for us. That there's no more lambs to kill. That the perfect lamb and the perfect sacrifice that God sent has been killed and is alive today. And so when we remember communion, we remember what Jesus did for us. We don't remember what we did for Him. Here I am, Lord, at your table. There's this church in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's called Renovatus. Isn't that a cool name? Renovatus. And the pastor there, they have a new pastor. The pastor who founded the church left a few months ago. But they call themselves a church of, here's their mission statement. Liars, dreamers, and misfits come in. Liars, dreamers, and misfits. And this one year, they did a mass mailing. If I ever mention mass mailing here, tell me no. Because we did a mass mailing at Mason one time for Christmas Eve service. And we got everybody's address within. And we may have had three people come from that. I mean, it's not cheap to do mass mailings. And so they did a mass mailing in North Carolina, and then he said they got the same results. It didn't really do anything. Except it did this one thing. People called in to the church to complain. They were okay being called dreamers, and they were almost okay with being called misfits, but how dare you send me a postcard saying that liars are welcome. How dare you call me a liar? Isn't that funny? Nobody came to church because of this postcard, but everybody was offended by the postcard. And then he said, he couldn't tell you how many phone calls that they fielded from people calling into the church to complain. It's like when we say, well, who's going to be there? Do you want to do this? Well, who's going to be there? I don't know if I want to associate with, I don't know about, weren't they in jail? Or see what I mean? We at the table, when we come for communion, when Jesus says come, He says come liars. Come thieves. Who was he with? You know, Judas, there's controversy, not controversy, but there are two trains of thought on Judas. Some people want to believe that Judas didn't have communion with Jesus that night. I think he did. I mean, Jesus said, whoever dips this sop with me, that's who's going to... I think he did. Everyone's welcome at the table. Here's something else I want to touch on. We in the United Methodist Church, we don't believe that the substance changes. We believe when we're drinking it, it's still juice. There are some who think that it changes into the blood of Jesus. We don't believe that. But something does happen at the table. John Wesley, who founded the United Methodist Church, the Methodist Church, John Wesley believed that you could be saved during communion. And I think you can too. I have a friend who was ministering at a gay bar in Charleston. And she went in there to have communion one day. Got your attention now, don't I? And this one person said, I can't come to the table. I mean, I've been told by the church that I can't come for communion. And she said, everyone's welcome. Whatever your sin, it's not any worse than another's sin. And she tells this story so much better than me, but she served the guy communion, and he shook and sobbed uncontrollably. Uncontrollably. I wish I had been there to see it. I don't decide who gets God's grace. That's what communion is. It's God's grace. You don't decide who gets God's grace. Who decides who gets God's grace? God does. I have written here in some of my notes, Jesus always ate with the wrong people. Didn't he? To sit down and eat with people who didn't deserve it. Here's one thing I read in a commentary. When Jesus sat with the wrong people, he was lifting their profile. He was validating them as people. And that bothered the people who thought that they were, better. It validated the least. And so that's one of the things that really bothered. And we see communion as a gathering of the table, at the table. We see it as a gathering of the holy and righteous. Right? The holy and the righteous, are they Jesus' target audience? No. Who's he after? The sinners. Those who will admit their need. So that when we come to the table, I mean, do I think we have to love Jesus? Do I think we should love Jesus to take communion? I do. But I don't decide who comes. And I think just about every time I say it, I think, you know, in our liturgy we say, all who love Christ are welcome to come to the table. I feel like we ought to be doing communion today. But my point today is, so that when we do it next time, you'll remember this. That's my point, that you will remember this. And if you leave here upset today about something I said, I think that's your issue and not mine. I think I've said exactly what I'm supposed to say today, and I think it's I'll end with this. And this isn't in my notes either, but I remember when Diane and I were talking about having kids. She was 20 when we got married. That's why she looks so young and we've been married so long. I was 24, so I'm 4 years older than her. And so she's 21, I'm 25, we're loving life. She's 22, I'm 26, going to Florida in the winter. We owned a little Dairy Queen type restaurant. For several years in the wintertime, we would just go to Florida. We would take $1,000, and this was in the 80s, so that was some money, $1,500, and we would stay as long as we could. And her mom, you know, she gets to be 20, Diane gets to be 23, and her mom's saying, "You guys have been married 3 years. Is there a problem?" And we're going, "Yeah, you know, we don't really think we can afford to have kids yet." And what did she say? There you go. Thank you, Liz. I mean, Jean. If you wait till you can afford them, you'll never have them. You can never afford them. Matt had a teacher, his cross-country coach and his wife, Matt said, "Oh, they've got a good little bit of money." And we said, "They're both teachers. How do they have a good little bit of money?" And Matt said, "They never had kids." Oh, okay. We'd have a lot of money, too, if we never had kids. It's the you can't wait till you can afford them to have kids. That's communion. You can't wait till you get your house in order to come to church. You'll never get your house in order. You can't wait till you get your house in order to come to the table. I better not come because you don't get things in order without His help. And even then, it's difficult. Amen? So when you invite people to church and they say, "Oh, you know, I'm not," you say, then you'll fit right in. There's liars in our church. And dreamers and misfits. I like that. And I'm not calling you a liar. But I think there are times we would probably call ourselves one. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for this message that you have laid on my heart today about your grace and about our need to accept it. Thank you very much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross so that we may have eternal life. I thank you that He rose from the dead so that we would have victory over death. And I pray that these people who just come week in and week out, and God, it's hard for me to remember what I preached about 2 weeks ago. I pray that they would just never forget this morning. That they would always remember why we come to your table. And it's because of what you've done, not because of what we've done. And if there's any here today, God, who want to accept that grace for the first time, I pray that you have been speaking a message of salvation to them and that you would just impress upon their heart the need to ask for forgiveness from you. Lord, forgive me. I believe that Christ died and shed His blood for me, and I want you to forgive me. not because of what I've done, but because of what you've done and what Christ did. So I give you thanks and praise, Lord, for saving me. And for the rest of us, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for your grace, for your daily grace. I pray and ask this in Christ's name. Amen.